If you have your Bibles with you there this morning, and there are Bibles in the pew, turn with me into 2 Peter. We continue in 2 Peter. This makes another sermon. We preached a little bit earlier about Peter declaring it was no small things to remind the people of the things that they had learned, and it was good for them to take stock of it. And I like, as I was looking through this, I really did appreciate the way Peter ended this letter. And he ends it on such a great note. And speaking to us, what should we do now? I like the way one writer wrote as I was looking this way at this issue. Keeping your feet on the ground as a Christian in time of trouble. Keeping your feet on the ground as a Christian in time of trouble. I like that one. It was a little lengthy, but I had to share it with you because I like the tone. And so that is the intent of the message this morning, to speak to you as believers and to those who may not know the Lord, to call them by the Scriptures to trust in Christ and to have their feet on the ground spiritually. And so from 2 Peter chapter 3, it is the way that Peter ends the letter. He ends the letter, and I find it fascinating how he ends it, speaking to Christians who are facing some real challenges, real difficulty. And this is the way he ends the second letter. May God bless his word to our hearts, and that by his Spirit. Hear then the word of God. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Two little verses that end quite appropriately in a call to the Christian in difficult times. What should you and I be doing as believers? How should we be responding in the days in which we live? Certainly, you have to say that the changes that have come about are a little bit unsettling. Did it take you a little bit by surprise? It did. And I'll tell you, the other thing that took me by surprise was how suddenly it happened. I think the signs may have been all there, but how quickly I really wasn't anticipating it, actually. I mean, I knew that we live in a sinful world and things happen. We're certainly used to that, aren't we? But for it to come so suddenly, and that could be unsettling for many people, even for Christians, couldn't it? It could cause them to doubt, waver, not know what to do, how to respond. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. And actually, when I do think about it, it takes me full circle back to the grace of God in life in Christ from the beginning. Christ had mercy on us in our crisis with sin in our own personal lives. And he, by his mercy, brought us to himself, didn't he? That call still stands, by the way. Even this morning, the call of Christ who is abundantly willing to forgive and merciful, and we make that call. But Peter speaks to these Christians who are troubled. They are not only facing persecution and challenge from without, these believers that have been scattered, but they are also facing challenges with regard to their own faith within the context of the church. As a matter of fact, there Peter warns them about the false teachers. And he warns them about those who would move them away from Christ and upset their stability in the Lord. Those who were proclaiming that there was something missing in the atonement of Christ and His salvation in their life by the Spirit, and that these particular teachers proclaimed to know something that they didn't know and they needed it. And I'm sure that that was very unsteadying in the life of many Christians who had come to know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, have I missed out on something? I remember going through that through the charismatic movement. I was constantly being told by those particular teachers that I was missing out on a second blessing, or I was missing out. And they wanted to know what my gift was. And for the life of me, I couldn't think of what that might be. And so therefore, they didn't speak to me anymore because I didn't have the gift. Well, it goes to show you that the teaching is still prevalent in our day, isn't it? That Peter was dealing with. Those in the world who come and proclaim to God's people that they're missing out on something and they need to follow that leader in order to become whole as a Christian, making Christians doubt the very grace of God that they have in Christ as sufficient. And so Peter writes to these Christians, and he brings the final message and exhortation to them in these last two verses. And I specifically want to concentrate on verse 18, but as I thought about verse 17, it's certainly a part of that application. And it's very important. For even as us as Christians today, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard lest you be carried away by the error of unprincipled or lawless men, and you fall away from your own steadfastness. I thought about this negative application that Peter gives to these believers, and he says that the first thing that you have to watch out for is the influence of lawless people. And I specifically like the expression in the ESV. Watch out for the influence of lawless people, lest you be carried away from the things of Christ and become a part of what is going on. Peter has already warned them about those false teachers. He has called them to remember the things of the Lord in their life already. He calls them to stand fast in the things that they have in Christ. And that is what Christians are to do in a time of trouble, I think. They are to ground themselves as they begun in Christ to continue in Christ. And the focus is this: in this world, we know that we will have trouble. Hebrews, I love Hebrews, keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus, who is not only the author of our faith, but the finisher of our faith. That suggests to us that as we consider what it means to grow in the Lord, that is Peter's appeal, that they grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Well, that's what we learned when we first came to know Christ, is to trust Him as Lord and Savior. And it seems to me that Peter is calling us to that same spirit, that as we have trusted Christ from the beginning, so to ground ourselves more and more in Christ. Amen? To not lose sight of the goal. Even as we read, I know that Philippians verses seemed a little out of place, but even in the face of death, the Apostle Paul, what, kept what? Christ and His righteousness before him. I find that amazing. I love it. Not that I've attained it or have it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, isn't that a call for Christ? I press forward to the high calling of Christ Jesus and what's in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness which comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may, what, at His death, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. Boy, the Apostle Paul lays it on at the end of the day, doesn't he? And he notice the focus. The focus is upon knowing Christ personally and building yourself up in Him and walking with Him. That is how you can have strong assurance in your walk in uncertain days, is grounding yourself in Christ whom you received from the beginning. Don't be distracted from the gift. Don't be distracted from the goal. And I tell you what, this passage, as Peter talks about us growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, it presumes one thing as a principle, doesn't it? For something to grow, it has to be what? It has to be alive. And I would say to you that the foundation for growing in the Lord, first of all, is that we have life in Christ. You going back to the focus, that you and I are in Christ, that we are alive in Him, that He lives in me, and I in Him, and that my life is hidden with Him in the heavenlies, seated at the right hand of the Father. It presumes life or something, to grow. It has to have life. And it is very important that that foundation be there. So this call is to one who has come to know Christ and once being dead in trespasses and sins, that we have been made alive in Christ. And I tell you what, that may seem simple, but being alive in Christ, Christ in us, and we in Christ, our union with Him. My dear friend, isn't that a foundation against the uncertainty of the world? Isn't that a ground on for us to rest our faith and our hope and our trust, that which has already been given to us in Christ? Peter says, continue in those things. Don't lose what you first had. Ground yourself in those things that you have in Christ and grow in His grace and in His knowledge as you move forward. I tell you that being mature in Christ is very important in these days. And that may be one of the things that God is doing in these very difficult days, is maturing His own people. I can really see that. And we do need to grow up in maturity in Christ, should we not? Don't we see that in Peter's life? I mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. Peter, have you noticed Peter's growth as you read Scripture? You notice that Peter, when he's walking with the Lord upon the earth, he speaks. And he says, Lord, let all these others deny you. but I'll never deny you. I'm able to do it, Lord. I mean, we've got it. I can do it. And Jesus looks at him and declares to him what? Even just in the very near future, Peter, before God grows, you're going to deny me three times that you ever knew me. Must have been a shocking thing for Peter to even hear that from the Master. And I don't think it fully absorbed with him till after the events. And Peter was very much like that as a man. He was very forward. He had much growing to do in Christ, didn't he? And don't you love the mercy of the Lord after the resurrection? That after they eat the meal together, the Lord asked Peter to come and walk with Him. Whew, boy. Have you ever known the Lord's discipline? And I don't mean just external, impersonal discipline, but in walking with the Lord. Well, Lonnie, let me talk to you for just a minute from my Word. whoa, okay, Lord. And Jesus personally speaks to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was grieved in his heart that the Lord asked him a third time, do you love me? Why was Peter grieved in his heart? Because he knew that he had failed. He knew that he had to go back and eat his words from the past. Lord, I'm able. That all these, are you better than these others, Peter? Can you do something they can't do? Are you, boy, you're really special. Peter, do you love me? And where does Peter come to? He collapses upon the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just love the concession to the Lord. Lord, you know all things about me. Acknowledgement of God's sovereignty over his life. Lord, I wasn't even listening when you told me what was going to happen the next day. But oh, I'm listening now, Lord. Lord, you know all things about me. You know that I love you. Even fleshly Peter. Let me ask you a question. Was that a hard time for Peter? That was pretty tough. But can I say something to you? Was the Lord bringing Peter along to maturity? Was he bringing Peter along to a greater walk with him? Because guess what's coming? The Lord knows something else, that even in this restoration of Peter, and Peter's finally just collapsing upon the grace and the knowledge of the Lord knows that the difficult time in Peter's life is even yet to come. And that the challenges will be even greater upon his life. And I think the Lord desired Peter to walk with him in the light of those difficulties. It didn't change the difficulties, but it sure changed Peter in his walk with the Lord. It sure made a difference in Peter's understanding of what God was doing. And I love to read his letters. Matter of fact, his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, are very challenging and have a very deep commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just enjoy the focus. And so Peter now is communicating some of the things that he has learned. And I'm sure that he had his own walk with the Lord in mind of some of the times that he had to go through in order to understand the Lord. And so his final exhortation to them was, first of all, to be careful. You therefore, beloved, I love he calls them beloved, his children, he constantly, his children, the beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard lest you be carried away by the error of lawless men, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. And so therefore, we have to be realistic about some of the influences and some of the challenges that will come into our life as a result of those things from the outside. And of course, Peter is warning these Christians about some of the influences that will come from the inside with regard to the destabilization of their faith. And we in this day and time, lawlessness seems to have increased a little bit. It may have always been there, I'm sure, but it's sure rearing its ugly head in these days, isn't it? Would it cause you to react as a Christian at all that lawlessness? Well, I tell you, Christian, be careful how you react even to the lawlessness of the world today. Because, dear friends, is it possible for a believer to react to the lawlessness of this world in an unchristian way? I ask the question, could Satan use your reaction, even as a Christian.
Well, just look at that. I can't, boy, you know.
Sometimes if Satan can't get you through the front door, he'll do what? He'll come in the back door. So let me challenge you to be careful with regard to the lawlessness of the day, not making the excuse, not at all, because we know, I love the scriptures where Paul says, we're not ignorant of his schemes. Next week we'll preach on Ephesians about be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, put on the full armor of God. We'll talk about that next week from Ephesians. But, my dear friends, you need to be strong in the Lord. And do not parrot a lawless world with lawlessness in your speech and in your actions. Brothers, do not get your own revenge, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, but what? He says, leave room for the vengeance of God. And it doesn't say revenge. Leave room for the righteous intervention of a holy God. Now that doesn't preclude our responsibilities as a believer to be responsible. Doesn't preclude us taking the stands that we take upon the truth. But I tell you what it does do, in the light of all that, we are called to guard our conduct and our behavior to be sure that our relationship with Christ is not marred in relationship to our testimony to the world. Amen? Walk worthy of your calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my dear friends, let us be careful how we respond to the world. I think that sometimes when I hear folk talk, they talk within a vacuum. They talk within all that's going on here. But I notice that there's one element missing. They're forgetting that God is there and that He's here and He is at work. And so leaving God out of the picture is a dangerous thing. God is there and He is not silent. And I think Christians are called, first of all, to guard themselves against lawless men, lest you respond in such a way that you be carried away from your own steadfastness in Christ. Now, is that faithful to Scripture? Is that faithful to Scripture? Be careful of the lawlessness of men, lest you be taken away from your own steadfastness. Well, steadfastness in what? Your steadfastness in your relationship and your walk with Christ. Not only does the principle of life apply here, but there's a growth. A walk with the Lord is progressive, and there is nothing in history of which the Lord will bring into your life here during your days here on the earth that will not serve the purpose but to cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I would be looking as a believer in these days, what is the Lord trying to say to me? What is my relationship with the Lord at the present time? Am I growing in His grace and in His knowledge? Or am I moving away from a walk with the Lord? Quite powerful here. And I'll tell you the one thing that we suggest here is that where there's life in Christ, there's movement. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only look out for lawless men, lest you be moved away from your steadfastness in Christ, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Don't let the things of the world and their up and down deter you. But you walk with the Lord in His grace. And I'll tell you, this is what tempers the behavior and the life of a Christian and their growth in the Lord is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How has Christ dealt with you? By the way, has He continued to deal with you in His grace as you've matured and walked with Him more and more? The principle doesn't change. The life that you have in Christ is progressive. It's a process. It's moving forward. The Lord's not trying to take us back or take us behind and to do us harm. My dear friends, all of these things work together for the good to those who love God, to those called according to His purpose. All of these things are used by His grace to cause you to move forward in the light of His grace. And we should allow the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to permeate our thinking as we grow and as we move forward in the face of difficulty and challenge. When we were in opposition to Christ, did God deal graciously with us in your sin and in your rebellion, in your lawlessness? Was Christ merciful to you during such a time? Peter says, brothers, I know you're going through a tough time, but would you continue to grow in that grace? Remember how God has dealt with you in His Son. And grow in that grace. Extend it to others. Let that temper you. Always the grace of the Lord. Let that firm you up in the way that you respond to the world and as you continue the work of the Lord so long as you're here on this earth. Grow in the grace. Grow in grace. It's steady growth. It's steadily forward. And it would be a shame for us to say that we've experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and then come some point in our life and not be willing to extend it to others. And say, well, you know, they don't deserve. Oh boy, Lord, help us to be careful. They don't deserve. They don't deserve. Neither do we. It's humbling, isn't it? And the Lord says, grow in that grace. Walk with me. Walk with me. Don't let the world deter you away from our relationship. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think for a Christian in these days who seeks to walk with the Lord in a difficult time is that they should hear the Word of God. Notice how the two are connected. But his application to them, but grow in the grace and go in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You know, I've learned one thing. There's a lot. I look back on my life, and that's why I'm so jealous of Alex. Man, he's reading things and he's studying things that when I was his age, I don't know where my mind was. Oh, where my life was. But you know, I love it. I love when I see a young person driving for the knowledge of Christ in their life. Man, I get excited about that. I do. Because that's it. That's it. The grace of God in our lives driving us more to know the Lord. What does the Lord's Word have to say about this? Lord, how am I to order my life after the things that You have given us as means of grace? Boy, when you begin to see that in the life of believers, know that they are moving toward maturity in Christ and that they're moving toward growing in the Lord and keeping themselves during a time of difficulty. For it will guard them, the knowledge of the Word of God. Also, Another thing, employing the means of grace, prayer. Has prayer in your life as a Christian grown in these days? Has it grown? I tell you what, it should grow with the difficulty of the day. And if it's not growing with the difficulty of the day, there may be something wrong with your prayer life. It may be that you've been desensitized to the real spiritual issues of the day and the necessity of prayer. What about the other means of grace that God has given you? How are we to grow and to continue in the Lord? Ought we not to employ ourselves not only to the means of grace that we've already mentioned, the Word of God and to prayer, but also to the fellowship of the saints and to the worship of God, to the things that God has given us, coming to His table, being faithful to those sacraments. I tell you what, in a time when there's difficulty, unsettledness, and lawlessness in the world, it is at that time that the church should be circling the wagons in one sense of the word and firming up those means of grace and those things that God has given them whereby they might walk with the Lord, because they are sufficient for the believer in the difficult day. I think another thing that the Lord may be bringing many Christians to today in terms of this application of Peter of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord also is holiness of life. I like what one writer said. He said, the dangerous thing about this is that there has not been a strong emphasis in the Church of Jesus Christ with regard to holy living. He said, many times there's a disjoint in the proclamation of the gospel and sanctification in the life of believers in terms of where believers are in relationship to really growing and moving forward in the day of the Lord. He made a comment. He said some of the Puritans had a greater understanding of holiness of life than some contemporary 21st century Christians in the light of all that we've been told. And I thought, he said, I read John Owen. I read different writers from that period of time because there was a focus on holiness of life, of what it meant to walk with the Lord in a daily relationship with Him. He said many Christians have no even clue what that means and have never been taught it in these generations. I pray that we will be a church that will consider God's work in sanctification. I hope that we won't stop at justification and say that there's no relation. I like Brian Chappell's new book with regard to that. He has a new book that talks about the relationship of God's work in the continuing of His grace in our life and sanctification. God's will for you is that you grow in the Lord and you walk with Him in maturity. So I pray that you will avail yourself to the means of grace and shore those things up in which God has called you to walk in the Scriptures. And I know that there's much more that could be said about that whole area. But finally, I love the final application where Peter comes from. He not only warns them about the lawlessness of the time of being taken into it and being taken away from their steadfastness in Christ, and then he warns them, he encourages them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then there's just something that seems out of place. The last sentence, he just breaks into a doxology. And I looked at that and said, Michael Gracious, what in the world is this all about? This doesn't seem to fit. But more I prayed about it and more I thought about it, it does fit Peter. It does fit where Jesus has brought Peter in their relationship. And he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I tell you, my dear friends, how to deal with the day. The Lord inhabits the praise of His people. And when a people recognize God's gracious dealings with them, My dear friends, there's no other way to turn than to give God the glory. There will be that heart of doxology and praise and worship of God at the heart that cannot be held back against any opposition that the world might bring. And so therefore Peter has come a long way, hasn't he? Peter's come a long way. Peter, praise God for His work in your life. Look at you, because you look to the Savior. And look, He even brought you to Himself when you were not willing in the way that He chose. Peter, look. Look how far you have come. Will He not take you all the way home? And Peter says, what? Yes, Lord. Oh, yes. I'll be careful of this world because I know the sin that is in it that was in my own life. Lord, help me to be careful lest I be moved from my steadfastness in You. Lord, help me to grow in the grace and knowledge that You have granted me in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me to walk with Him closer and closer. Even if the fire gets closer to us and the edge of the sword even gets closer, Lord, even no matter what difficulty in this world, draw me closer to You. Isn't that what you see in Paul's life in Philippians? I tried to figure out Philippians for the longest kind of time. And I came to the realization that that's where the Lord brought the Apostle Paul in his last days. And man, what doxology and praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ than the doxology and praise of the book of Philippians. Isn't it amazing? Peter cries out to these dear Christians who are hurting. To Him be the glory forever and ever to all eternity. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these two letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. Lord, how much they are needed in these days. And Father, those who are Christians here, I pray that You would give ears to hear. And Lord, even in the weakness of this presentation, I pray that You would draw Your children even closer to Yourself. And Father, if there are those here who have heard this feeble preaching, I pray and that they, if they do not know You, that You will ring alarm in their heart. And that, Lord, You would draw them near to Your mercy and to the knowledge of Yourself in a saving relationship. Lord, for as we go out into the world, there are many who are confused and upset. And Lord, their lives have been upset. The ordinary doing of things has been upset. The needs have changed, and Lord, it can be very upsetting. Oh Lord, be pleased to work in our life as Your children. Help us to be still and know that You're God. That You are there and You are not silent. That You are at work not only in our lives and in our hearts, but in the life of Your church and in this world in which we live for Your glory. Lord, where we need to be active and to serve You better, would You show us? Lord, where we need to mature and grow up in You, we pray that even through these things it would be so. And we pray, Father, that all these things would serve the purpose for Your glory and Your honor in our life, for it has not only been given to us to live with the Lord, but also to walk with Him in the face of difficulty. For if we walk with Him in the face of difficulty, we shall also share in His glory. Lord, we pray that at this time, that we would not falter as Your children. That You would be with us in all the means of grace that You have given in Your Son for life and godliness. Father, we would evermore walk with you in the joy of our salvation. In the precious name of the Lord, I pray.